Welcome to The Out Agenda, coming to you on archive.kpfk.org. I'm Rita Gonzalez.
And I'm Ralph Radabaugh. This week on the show, Rita, we're going to have an interview that you got the opportunity to do by yourself. I'm really sorry I missed out on that. It's Isaac Gomez. He's a playwright, and I believe you talked to him about his new play that's coming out. What is that?
His play is Radical or Are You Gonna Miss Me?
Oh.
It's a very interesting title, actually.
Yeah, it is. Sounds very enticing.
It does. Yeah. They are a really nice person.
Yeah.
And so we talk a little bit about Isaac's background as a playwright and where Isaac grew up. So, right.
Rita, are you ready to bring your guest on?
Yes, I'm very excited about our guest is Isaac Gomez, and he's going to talk about his new play, Radical or Are You Gonna Miss Me? Isaac, welcome to The Out Agenda. I'm so happy that you can have time to talk with me because I know you have a production coming up like really soon, but
yes.
It's great just to take a moment and breathe, isn't it?
It is. Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor. Thank you.
Now, I want to talk about you. I mean, Isaac, you're originally from El Paso, Texas, and Ciudad Juarez, Mexico. So did you both sides of the border go back and forth? Or?
Yeah, something I like to talk about is, you know, when you grow up in a border city, both sister cities are your home. So your feet are planted in two places at once, and these people know you better than anyone else in the entire world. You know, whereas some folks might say, you're here or you're there, but when you live in a border city, you're everywhere. And so I would grow up predominantly on the American side, but on the weekends before violence in Juarez started getting pretty untenable, would spend in Juarez with my cousins and my tias and tios. It's where I often got my teeth cleaned and my haircuts and all kinds of good stuff.
How fun. I've talked to other people too in a border town. It's so much different than when you're further away.
Yes, very much so.
But yeah, I was reading your bio and it says the third gender marker.
Yes.
Nahui?
Yes.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm a direct descendant of the Raramuri or Tarahumara is also known, which is a Mexican indigenous community in northern Chihuahua. So my father's grandmother was part of this particular culture and community. And what's beautiful is within the Raramuri, they have a third gender marker called the Nahui. So, you know, it'd be what the American equivalent would be of genderqueer and non-binary. And as I'd been going through my own gender identity exploration and expansion, much of it didn't quite feel right with the Western terms of non-conforming or non-binary or genderqueer, like all of that didn't quite feel right to my spirit. So when I finally started discovering more about my ancestral roots and the way in which gender fluidity was very much a part of their existence then and presently to this day, I knew I felt like, this is exactly who I am.
I think that's wonderful. It's just like I was reading that, I thought, wow. It's nice to see an expression of just something else that we hear, like you were saying right now.
Absolutely.
So you are a playwright. Have you always wanted to be a playwright, or was just something that you just discovered one day that you can write plays or you can write?
It's interesting because growing up, I think this is true for most writers. You know, I had many journals and I wrote a lot of poetry in elementary school, middle school, and high school, and was a very sad person for a long time. So Emily Dickinson, for example, was a big inspiration of mine, especially throughout high school. But it wasn't until I was in college, I had always done theater predominantly as an actor. And when I was an undergrad, my freshman year, a friend of mine committed suicide. He jumped off the parking garage across the street from the dorms we were living in. And it was really tough on my spirit. And at the time, I felt like the only way I could really process what I was going through was to write a play. And so I hadn't taken any formal playwriting classes I just read a lot. I'm an intuitive storyteller, and wrote my first play then. And then from there on out, I was like, oh, wow, this feels like exactly what I want to be doing and how I want to be leaving my mark on this world as a storyteller.
Well, you don't just do plays. You've actually done some television.
Yes, I've done television and film as well.
So you were part of that writer's strike that just happened, I imagine.
Yes, very much so. Very involved. And it was a deeply intense and emotionally taxing experience.
You have done some plays and you have done some theater, television, and film. Now you've got a play that I'm very curious about. It's Radical, or Are You Gonna Miss Me? Mm-hmm. And I was reading about that, and it just sounds so, well, you tell the story, then I'll jump in. What's it about?
Yeah, so Radical, or Are You Gonna Miss Me, is a play that at its, on the surface level, is about two sisters whose differentiating political and social beliefs find themselves at their relationship at the brink of extinction. But below the surface, it's a play about loneliness, the antidote to loneliness, the consequences of loneliness, and the ways in which we as humans and as people can find ourselves doing things beyond imagination or comprehension, bad things, scary things, when we find ourselves at the wrong place at the wrong time, desperate for connection.
There are three women in the play, and two of them are sisters. And what caught my attention is about like two sisters growing up together, but so different.
Yes.
And I think that happens to a lot of families, I should say, because sometimes I look at my sister and I think, we ate the same food. We did the same things. Why do you think the way you do? Because we're so, you know, yin and yang, I guess we're totally opposite. And I guess a lot of people are like that.
Correct.
And a lot of that in your play is about that. And then there's another woman who's also in the play too. So it's three women that.
Yes.
Their story.
And the third woman, the character's name is Erica, and she is someone who one of the sisters finds at a time where she needs connection the most desperately. And in that relationship, we see how a person can become radicalized in a variety of contexts. And so the majority of the play sort of bounces back and forth in time between present day with our two sisters and the past between one of these sisters and a woman who was deeply influential in her life to help us understand what made her the way that she is, what made her do the things that she's done, and why these two sisters couldn't be more different.
How did you come up with the concept?
So my older brother, I'm a child of four, but my older brother, he and I are both the middle children, and we're only 5 years apart, but we never really had the most loving or affirming relationship. And recently he has come out as conservative to my family. And over the course of the pandemic, I learned that he voted for Trump. And there are a lot of, as we've seen in various different headlines, that there are a lot of Latinos who are conservative and who did vote for Trump and who likely will again in the upcoming election. And a question that I have been wrestling with over the years is very much what you just described with your sister, which is, how could the two of us, only 5 years apart, eat the same things, have the same parents, experience life so differently? You know, as a queer person in my family, I know what it's like to feel like an outsider. My older brother, who is a conservative in his own way, feels like an outsider in our family as well. And so what this play has allowed me the ability to do is to, through our own very different ways of feeling completely ostracized by our family, we actually have a lot more in common than we do not. And it has given me a lot of empathy for him. You know, I've lived a life of a deep militant political and social perspective, one that I still carry, but I'm certainly a lot more compassionate than I have been in my 20s, for example, in trying to understand where someone might be coming from. Because if I aspire for the same kind of compassion, then why would I not try to extend it to somebody else? It feels antithetical to the kind of values I want to live. And I don't know if my older brother has ever or will ever carry the same level of inquiry around me and my existence in the way that I do for him. But I can't control what he thinks. I can't control how he uses his time. All I can do is control what I do. And if I can wake up every day and say that I'm leading with grace and compassion and love, then I've lived a life worth living.
So this kind of helps you deal with this too, this play, even Absolutely. Though you made it into women. And it's tough for a lot of families too, because you have the other family members, they don't know what to say. Yes. And you just have to just kind of find some neutral ground.
Correct.
You just don't mention certain things, you know, because mm-hmm. they say, you know, some of those family get-togethers could be pretty crazy.
Absolutely, without a doubt.
I've been there, done that, so I understand. So I have several of that. So, yeah. So this, it's the way you explained it was, and I think a lot of people can feel exactly or similar to what you're feeling about this. And this play kind of helps you let it out there too.
Absolutely, something that, you know, it's funny because I write in multiple mediums, but when I think about my TV and film writing, given its vast reach, I think about how through that medium, I'm able to change culture and heal culture and community. Through my plays, I'm able to heal myself because it's certainly a lot more intimate for me. Plays are able to hold a level of emotional depth and intensity that TV and film, in my experiences, don't quite have the capacity to hold because there are a lot of factors involved, most of it visual. Right. And so through these plays and through healing myself, I have found over the years with every different play that they touch people in a different way. And through my own healing, others have been able to find healing themselves. And that for me has been like the greatest gift and blessing. It's very painful to go through. It's incredibly taxing, not with a ton of financial reward, but when I see people, especially my community, experience my plays and feel affirmed in their own sadness, loneliness, anger, joy, I feel like this was worth it, you know?
Yeah. Now, is this a world premiere?
It is a world premiere. Yes. Brand new.
Wow. Because you were talking about earlier about you're still doing a couple of rewrites and trying to, that's yes. tough right before an opening. I always ask writers this, to see your work actually up there, mm-hmm. how you feel about that?
I feel great. It's, you know, what's cool is in theater, we have what we call previews. And what that allows is for a number of performances, audiences, you know, pay to come and see the work. And that's the final component in our development process, is seeing how an audience responds. And through their response, I'm able to continue to make changes based on how I'm feeling about their response. So for the first 5 or 6 performances of the play, audiences will see it. And then I will likely continue doing some rewrites. The actors will learn new lines throughout the day, tackle, adjust to the new stuff that I write. And then we perform it for an audience again that evening. And they are the most, I wouldn't say the most important, but certainly like a critical component of a world premiere, especially. And there is, for me, nothing like the feeling of watching an audience watch your play. It's pretty amazing.
So the play is just three actors, and it opens on Thursday, November 16th.
Yep, and preview performances start November 11th.
It's at the Atwater Village Theater. Love that theater space. Love that area. Yeah.
So great.
Yeah, it's in it's in a tiny little street in Atwater at 3269 Casitas Avenue. And for tickets, they can either call 323-380-8843 or they can go online. IamATheater.com, which we'll have on our website. How long is it going to be playing till?
It runs through December 11th, I believe, though, you know, on the website it can confirm. And in what's also great is that you have throughout preview performances, $25 tickets. So if you would like access to more affordable tickets, those first performances are cheaper. If you go on their website, there are also a bunch of different access codes for community nights. We're doing a lot of programming around the play, including a panel discussion between myself and my dear friend and someone I consider a mentor, Tania Saracho, who is an amazing playwright and who also created the television series Vida that was on Starz. She and I will be talking about the play together and among a bunch of others. So certainly check out IAMA on their website and on their social media for more information about that. We'd love to have you join us.
Their performances are in the evening, but the Sunday matinees for so some of us that like earlier shows. So
totally.
Yeah, so it plays until December 11th. Well, break a leg. Good luck to the show. And I hope I get to see it. And I know you're going to be doing a lot more plays.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Isaac. And once again, our guest has been Isaac Gomez talking about his play, Radical, or Are You Gonna Miss Me? Like us on our Facebook page, follow us on Twitter, or email us at theoutagenda@gmail.com. I'm Rita Gonzalez, along with Ralph Radabaugh. Thanks for listening and have a wonderful week. And remember that being out is the first step to being equal. Now stay tuned for This Way Out.